You're listening to CKUT, broadcast on 90.3 FM in Montreal and online worldwide at ckut.ca. I'm Jules Bugel. You've probably heard about Bill 15, Christian Dubé's gigantic bill that promises to overhaul how Quebec's healthcare system is run. Health Minister Dubé says it'll reduce wait times and deliver better outcomes to patients. But workers in the healthcare sector say the main goal is increasing government control and opening the door to greater privatization of healthcare. It's in that context that the Institut de Recherche et d'Information Socio-Économique, also known as IRIS, released their 6 remedies to revolutionize the health system in Quebec. It's a counterpoint to the Dubé plan that would instead decrease centralization and move away from privatization. IRIS researcher Guillaume Tremblay-Boilly spoke to CKUT about how that would work earlier today. Here's our conversation. We are here to talk about a publication from IRIS from yesterday that was offering a kind of different recommendation for the health and social service sector than what we've been seeing from Health Minister Christian Dubé. But before we get into that, I'd like to just chat a little bit about what is being put forward by Minister Dubé. That's Bill 15, which is a massive bill, in fact, restructuring healthcare governance in Quebec. Just so that we're all on the same page here, you know, what are some of the big changes that he's proposed in that bill?
So basically, Bill 15 is proclaimed as a bill to make the health system more efficient. And the way that they're going to do this is to create a single agency called Santé Québec, under which all the elements and the establishments of the health system will be. So this will mean that 325,000 employees will be under the same administration. And so we expect that, quite the contrary to what the minister is claiming, this reform will not make the system more efficient. It will do the opposite. It will make it more bureaucratic and more difficult to govern.
Yeah, no, and healthcare workers as well have critiqued the bill, saying something similar to what you've said, which is just it doesn't address the big issues that are plaguing the sector right now. What do you see, and the researchers who did the publication at IRIS, as those big issues in the sector, and why is it that the CAQC's plan is, in your eyes, ill-equipped to actually fix them?
Well, one of the main problems with the Dubé reform is that it doesn't really address the actual issues that we're facing in the health and social services system. It's just a reform based on structures and governments, and that's not what we need right now. What we need right now is to address the fact that there's a disproportion in the areas that are funded. We need more funding for prevention rather than for specialized healthcare. And but of course we need both. But we need to address the fact that there are huge problems of access and huge problems with underfunding of certain areas that need to be prioritized.
Yeah, tell me more about what areas need to be prioritized. That's touched on in the publication put out yesterday. What were sort of the problem areas that researchers were pointing to, saying we need to really pay attention and focus our energy here?
So what we published yesterday is a small document that we called 6 Remedies to Revolutionize the Health System in Quebec. And so basically the first remedy is to create 400 direct points of access between the population and the system, because that's one of the huge problems right now. People don't know on which door they need to knock in order to access the system. And so their reaction is to go towards the emergency rooms, which has a lot of impact in terms of cost and in terms of waiting times. The idea that we're putting forward is to create local centers where people will be able to access all the frontline services that they need.
Sorry, on that, just that first point, how is that different from in Montreal? We have the what are supposed to be these kind of neighborhood local centers where you can go and get these services. What would be the change that researchers want to see there?
Yeah, well, we have the, historically, we have had the CLSC, and they still exist. They're still around, but they basically became empty shells over the years because the various reforms undertaken by different governments over the last decades have led to more centralization and more bureaucratization. So nowadays, the CLSA don't play as huge a role as they were supposed to when they were created in the 70s. So what we're putting forward basically is something akin to the plan that was imagined in the 70s, which was based on the idea that in the CLSA, you would be able to get pretty much all the frontline services that you need, and they wouldn't be run by doctors for doctors. They would be run by the professionals, the various sorts of professionals in the health and social services fields, but also by local users, people from the community who would have a say in what services are given and what are the priorities and how the budgets are distributed and so on and so on. So basically the idea is to go back to that plan, which was pretty radical and innovative at the time.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, not just dealing directly with doctors, but other healthcare professionals, that sort of ties into some of the other recommendations that you released, and I'm wondering if you could go into the rest of that a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Well, one of our main recommendation is to demedicalize the network, the health system that we have. So right now, around 15% of the budget of the Ministry for Health and Social Services is dedicated to paying doctors, whereas other professionals have this is double the amount of money that all the other employees have combined. So you can see the huge disproportion that there is in the system. So one of our main proposals is to reduce the pay of doctors and to make them full employees of the network, because as of now, they are considered autonomous workers. So very often they act as small businessmen and businesswomen. And what we're putting forward, the idea we're putting forward is that if they were really employees of the network and if their pay was reduced, that money could be used to better fund various social services and health services that are more needed right now.
Are you worried at all about, I mean, it's already difficult to find a family doctor in Quebec, you know, and let alone a specialist. If you lower doctors' pay, is there a fear that they might just leave the province, go elsewhere in Canada, and then it would create kind of a vicious cycle? What is the, I guess, plan to deal with, deal with the remuneration of doctors without having this kind of exodus occur?
Mm-hmm. Well, our response to that would be that the main problem right now is the fact that doctors are sort of gatekeepers to the system. You need to see a doctor in order to see any other type of professional. Whereas if we gave more powers and more autonomy to other professionals, and if we gave them better conditions, then our dependency on medical doctors would actually be reduced. So there would be less of an impact if the question of access to a family doctor would be less prominent.
Yeah, can you give me an example of the kind of situation where someone might go and try and see a doctor for a problem, but really they could see another professional, a different type of worker within the sector? Like what kinds of incidents or issues are you thinking about there?
Mm-hmm. Well, physiotherapy would be an example. So a lot of people who have, for example, knee injuries might need to see a physiotherapist. And if they want to have an appointment with a physiotherapist in the public sector, they would have to see a doctor, and then the doctor would have to confirm that they need a meeting with a physiotherapist. But one problem we have right now is that we don't have a lot of physiotherapists who are working in the public sector. A lot of them work in private clinics. So one of our proposals is also to deprivatize the whole network of health professionals. And the way we suggest doing that is by applying the actual law on healthcare says that doctors cannot practice both in private and in the public sector, whereas other professionals can. And the law also says that if you're insured with if something is already covered in the public sector, it cannot be covered by a private insurance. So this is a bit technical, but basically, if we applied that to other professionals, it would create an incentive for other professionals, such as physiotherapists or psychologists, to reintegrate the public sector. And so if they did, it would be possible to have more of these professionals serve the needs of people who have the most needs.
Yeah, one thing in the document you released, you're proposing about a doubling of spending, but it's not just about the amount, it's about how it's used. The researchers say that the problem isn't so much underfunding as a poor use and inefficient distribution of funds in the sector. So what would that look like? And is there anything in those kind of recommendations on investment that might actually, I don't know if the be heard by Dubé is the right way to phrase it, but, you know, obviously he's not looking to deprivatize the sector anytime soon. In what is being proposed in terms of more and different types of investment, is there anything there as well that might not be so disruptive or so unacceptable to a CAC restructuring of the sector?
It's hard to say what would sway Dubé in the other direction. He seems very set on increasing the share of the private sector in the provision of health services in Quebec, and so this is really the direction they're going in, and it's simply a continuation of the direction that the various governments have been going in the last decades, and it's clearly shown in all the research that this is a dead end, that it doesn't work. But maybe, well, I guess a lot of the suggestions we put forward in our document could be applied pretty easily in the short to mid-term, but maybe one that I could focus on is support at home for elderly people and people with special needs. Because right now, the focus is really on creating facilities, long-term care facilities to where people become permanent residents, whereas people in surveys frequently say that they would prefer aging at home and having services at home. And research has shown that this is actually less expensive and more favorable to better health in the end. So this is something that governments could do too. There's a lot of leeway there to improve these at-home services.
Yeah, and older people, there's a lot of them in Quebec and a lot of them vote. So you know, you may be right. This may be the winning proposal. But if folks listening would like to hear all of those proposals, would like to learn more about this recent piece of research, where do they go to find it?
It's on our website, iris-recherche.qc.ca.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks.
I'm Jules Bijal. Thanks so much for listening.